Welcome to the Spotlight with Sean Taylor.
Thanks, Fred. This is Sean, and I'm pleased to present the podcast version of the most recent live performance of The Spotlight with Sean Taylor.
Welcome to The Spotlight with Sean Taylor, featuring Donahue's BJ Gallagher and Sesame Street's Mo Shafiq. And now, sidekick Matt Shafiq and Sean Taylor.
Welcome to The Spotlight, where we feature people that have been on TV. Today, we have two that were on TV a very, very long time ago, but through the miracle of VHS, we have some of their clips, and they're going to talk about it later on. But right now, I just want to thank you again for coming to the show, and talk, right? So this last week, this is a good time for topical stuff. So this last week, it got real cold. That's one thing that happened. I made a mix CD, and my mom came to town. She's in the audience right now. You might remember from her last week. Last week she gave us an update for serial killers. Serial killer minute. I realize I can't just say that and not explain the whole bit. But she reads a lot about serial killers and watches every TV show there is, and so now she's an authority in the field. So if you have any questions, she is in the audience, but hold those questions till the end or maybe in the middle or maybe one of those times when Glenn Miller is just playing his music. But you guys probably want to know about my CD mix, right? How many of you guys make CD mixes?
Yeah.
Yay.
All right. Half. So I just made one the other day, and I made it a compilation of all the songs that I thought were the greatest song at least one point in my life. which is a fun mix to make, because you end up saying, like, look back at all the songs that you've like been very, very proud of, and then you see, like, do they hold up? Like, do you still like those songs? And most of them I do. So I feel like I had good taste when I was younger. I liked R.E.M. and I liked Cranberries. Well, let's see if you guys, if I tell you the artist, you guys just tell me what song you think it was that I liked by that particular group. First of all, what do you think my favorite R.E.M. song is?
Sand.
Keep going.
Nice for me.
Everybody Hurts? Man, these are really good songs. Now I'm thinking I better redo this mix.
End of the World.
No, wow. R.E.M.
Superman!
What album is it?
Radio Free Europe.
It's on Monster.
What's the frequency,
Kenneth? No, it's okay. I love that song. It was probably just because I was working at Pizza Hut at the time, and when that song came on, it was like, all right, time to really make a lot of pizza. It's about Dan Rather getting mugged. I think that's what someone said when Dan Rather.
I had an interesting story behind it, but I forget. Yeah, you know, I'd be it.
Yeah, although I guess it's not about that. That's what's the frequency, Kenneth means.
That line comes from the mugging,
yeah,
or something, right?
I think R.E.M. what they do is they throw together a lot of pop culture references and then put a tune to it, and then we all love it. What about Cranberries? What song?
Linger.
Zombie.
Keep going.
Dreams.
Dreams.
Which one is Dreams?
Dreams. Does anyone know how that goes?
It's yodeling at the end.
It worked. I've sung some part of a song and someone's been like, oh, now I know what song you're singing. Alright, we'll do one more. Blink 182.
Wow.
That's my age again.
Right.
You guys are embarrassed.
Alright, one more. Bam, let's see. This is Tears or Fears.
Shout.
Oh, see, now that really was my favorite song. But then later, I had another favorite song by that same exact group when I was older. So Shout was the one when I decided that I would be New Wave. That happened in a week because my next door neighbor, Chris Baker, was like, I'm going to be New Wave. And then, Mom, you remember Chris Baker, or the Bakers, they live next door?
Yeah, I'm over here.
Well, remember that week where I decided I'd be New Wave?
But what does that mean? To be New Wave? How do you announce that, and what does that entail?
Well, when your best friend decides he likes Duran Duran, Tears for Fears, and what are some other New Wave bands? Those were the only two that
so
I...
So your friend announced to you that he is exclusively into that kind of music? Is that what it means?
Yeah, he was my best friend.
So you had to either jump on the ship or jump off the friendship? Is that basically...
Yeah. All right. And I chose to be New Wave for... And that was a good week. It turned me on to Tears of Fears, but what's another song by them?
Sow the Seeds of Love.
Oh, that's a good song, too. Man.
Hail Shelter.
Everybody wants to move.
Everybody wants to rule the world.
Good.
But see, people are still going to think it's rehearsed because it came from this side. Paul Simon. I'll give you a hint. Chevy Chase. In the video. Yes! Isn't this a great mix? I made the mix and I gave it to a friend, but like all I could think was just like, you are so lucky. You listen to all my favorite songs.
I'll take a copy of it.
All right. This is Matt Shafik, by the way. He's a sidekick. So, Matt, another week, another show.
Another week, another show. You're talking about mix CDs. You should think about all the work I go into when I make them. I used to have a group of, like, four female friends that I don't know why I did this. I didn't really like any of them. But they were just good friends of mine. And instead of like, since it was Valentine's Day, they weren't my girlfriends, so I couldn't get them like flowers or anything. So I would make a mix CDs every year. But they wouldn't be like love songs either. They would be like fun match of you know, mix CDs. And they liked them a lot, I thought. I thought that they were really good.
So they were songs that didn't have to do with love?
No, they were just like whatever songs I was into at the time. I just tried to put together a good mix. Every year. And
did they give you one back?
No, they never did.
Were they mix CDs or mixtapes?
I think they might have started out as mixtapes. I remember the first one I made when I got really into Ben Folds, freshman year of college, was a tape I made for all of them. And I think the year after that, I made the transition over. I gained the ability to burn CDs.
Nice.
And then I started burning mix CDs.
You know, some people still call them mixtapes, even though when they give you a CD.
Really?
Yeah, it's like one of those things that carries over, like dialing a phone, even though they're touch tone.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even know what that one either. I didn't even think about it. I knew it. I guess subconsciously I already knew, but I never made that connection.
Well, with mixtapes, it was always an extra challenge, though, because you had to make it last...
Amount,
because you didn't want to have big space.
Right.
And then you didn't want them to have to flip it over.
Oh, no, that reminds me. I made two sides to the mixtape, and then on the first side, I remember I had like 30 seconds to spare at the end, and I'm like, I wanted to be able to literally end the tape and then turn it over again.
Yeah.
And so, you probably know this, I think on the Offspring CD, one of the Offspring CDs has, and now intermission, and it just goes, dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. I put that on the mix CD that year, the mixtape that year for everyone, so they had the little 30-second intermission before the next track.
Yes,
perfect. That was.
I remember when people were able to start putting sound clips on the mixtapes is when all of a sudden you could do the exact 30 minutes. And you just put like if you have 5 seconds left, you get Bart Simpson saying, like, eat my shorts.
Right. I was tempted to do, I never did it, was to, like, do a little vocal introduction to each song or something. So you could just plug in a mic and record and be like, this song's awesome because, okay, like this one, Debbie, you know?
It's a Valentine's Day mix for you that doesn't have anything to do with love.
Be a DJ on my own mixtape. But I never did that. I never took it that far. So,
do you know we're doing all this reminiscing, and it's such a perfect day to do that because do you ever remember the show Donahue?
Yes. I don't think I've ever watched a full episode of it in my life. I knew it was on. I was aware of its presence. I never watched it.
Well, speaking of presence, and Donahue is not here. But we have a guy who was a guest on Donahue. And his name is B.J. Gallagher. So please welcome B.J. Gallagher.
Thank
BJ. Thanks
hey,
for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Watch this.
Big budget show. You can't see this, but there's hydraulics.
You know, what they also can't see is the back of my my sport jacket. This it needs to be sewn back on, but in the meantime, I just use a safety pin.
Don't give it all away, man.
It's a real tie, though. I finally learned how to tie a knot.
Yeah.
Which way do you go?
Half Windsor.
Oh.
I'm glad I knew the name, too. I didn't think I'd be asked for the
name. You seem like the kind of guy who would know, though.
Thank you.
I know one way to tie a knot, and I can't, and that's the only way I do it, and I have no idea what it's called.
I'm the same exact way.
Yeah.
So you know the knot, or you know a knot, but you
somebody
don't know what it's called.
Somebody taught me a knot, and in my family, my brother-in-law can't tie a tie, and my brother can't tie a tie. So for all the occasions, I'm always tying a tie, but I have no idea what it's called.
Is it you hold the tie, and then you go loop, loop, around, through, down?
I do one loop, I think.
Okay.
One, and then
under,
down.
Yeah.
Do you want to tie to try that out on? I can get this back.
Not the way I do tie.
Give me five tries, and I got this thing.
That's really nice, though. Mine always flip a little on the side.
Well, you were dressed nicely for Phil Donahue.
Oh, man.
Do you want to see that? You know, relive?
Let me tell you, I haven't seen this in a lot of years.
Our
Meg Diamond and BJ Gallagher are here. You are? Would you kindly stand for a moment? Have you got a mic there? Have someone hand it. This audience will be pleased to know the story. So am I. So you're 12, both of you.
Yes.
And you date.
Yes.
Okay, sit down. I'm afraid to talk to you. No. Do you understand? You get this. I'm not going to patronize. Stand for a second here. I want to be able to see you. Certainly nice looking couple. Hang on. So you've been dating for?
5 months.
5 months. You look happy.
Yep. Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And on a date you would what? Like, example.
Go to a movie or go to a dance or a party.
Mm-hmm. You have a curfew?
No, it depends on the occasion.
Huh. Does your mother always know where you are?
Yeah.
12. You hold hands?
Yes.
And you kiss her goodbye.
And 12-year-old kissing.
He asked another question after that. Was there another question about?
There wasn't.
Did you go to like the bases?
There wasn't.
That's what everybody asked. He didn't.
What?
Thankfully.
That some woman she stands up because like he's like, can you believe that? Can you believe he kisses a girl goodnight? Can you believe it? And someone's like, I can't. And so he goes back there and gives the mic to her. She's like, I work for a shelter. And I think that we should really just, you know, work on family values.
Whoa.
And it doesn't have anything to do with her being objecting for you about you kissing.
Right, right.
You know, it kind of does, but it kind of doesn't. It's like people should listen to their parents is what I think the next line is.
Yeah. Well, back in those days, you know, like, I think people needed FaceTime. You know what I mean? They didn't have FaceTime. Like you needed to, if you wanted to get your message out for the masses, like, you just showed up at, like, Geraldo. And you just say, yeah, I know what you're talking about. People shouldn't have guns, no. Anyway, my animals are dying. Like, they would just come out with crazy stuff in those days.
So on this particular show, how did Phil Donahue know that you dated people when you were 12?
Oh my God.
And what's the topic for the show, first of all? What was the topic for that?
I think it was like young love or something like that. I don't know what it was specifically. But what happened was, and this is like the most ridiculous thing, as an adult looking back, this is a totally ridiculous thing, but one of the producers for the show lived in our town and apparently called up the middle school and said, who are the hot young couples?
And, like, you would think this is, like, a privacy thing. Apparently not, because they answered the question and followed it up with at least where we could be contacted.
Who's creepier, the guy asking that question or the guy who knows the answer?
Well, I've seen those.
Principal of your school, or whoever, someone knew that? That was, like, popular.
Yeah, somebody knew
common
that.
Knowledge amongst, like, the higher-ups?
I don't know. It was weird. Well, we were from a really small town, so everybody knew everybody's business. And I think what it was the girl that I was dating in this video.
You're not still dating her?
No, I'm married right now.
Different. It's not her.
What happened to you, Jay? You seem so happy.
It was a slippery slope.
But she had dated, like, some other dudes in, like, fifth grade. She basically had, like, a boyfriend each year, and, like, she was the girl that was, like, very, like, progressive in that sense. And I was, like, a total nerd at the time. And she just kind of, like, picked me out of the crowd and was like, "You're coming to my party," and was like, then we were boyfriend, girlfriend. Like, I had no choice. So I think she called me up one night and was like, "We've been contacted to be on the Donahue Show. You know, I really want to do it. Will you do it?" And it's suicide to say no at that age.
And she's your girlfriend.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, provide for her.
When was this?
I guess it would have to be 1988. Something like that. 88, 89, but I think it's 88. I can't remember it so well. I really tried to block it out because of that sweater.
Okay, do you remember that day when it's like, "We're going to Donahue today"? And you're like, "I gotta pick out my outfit."
I do remember my mother took me to some real low-end clothing stores and was like, "Anything you want.
Just make sure it's pink."
No, and that's the 80s, you know. Yeah, it was the 80s, you have to remember that.
I was new wave.
Yeah. You know all about it. Yeah, pastels were not so bad at the time. But apparently pink among the pastels was probably ranked lowest. And I picked up that sweater because I guess basically I really liked the texture of it. I'm really into textures. And I picked it out, and I honestly remember, like, you know, you have those moments in your life where, like, somebody says something to you and you're like, "This is how I feel," and then you, like, kind of go like, "Am I always gonna feel that way?" That's the way it was with that, because my mother was like, she's like, "Are you sure you want to go on television with that sweater?" But I didn't, like, really understand what she was talking about, and I was like, "Well, yeah, of course I do."
This texture?
Yeah.
People will be noticed in the texture,
not the color. So anyway, I had to live wearing a pink sweater down for, like, a number of years. And as I said, it's a small town I'm from, so, like, not just the people in your class knew about it, like, the entire town knew. Like, everybody tuned in. My family was so low-tech that we didn't have a VCR to record, or didn't record. We didn't even record the thing. And like, a neighbor had recorded it. Like, that's how into it everybody was. And even today, like, I got this tape from another girl from my town who was also on the show. That's the only way. And she happens to be dating a friend of mine now. And then that's how I got the tape.
Now, remember, they haven't seen the rest of the show, but I have. Who is she?
She's the girl that's standing, the couple that's next to us.
Okay. They mentioned them later.
Yeah, and they're the older couple because he was 17 and she was 15.
Ooh.
And they really got a lot of heat on that because he was driving. He was a pretty slick dude, but anyway, just so you know.
So, obviously you've been able to go this far and not really having the hardball questions, but...
Oh, man.
12 years old and dating? What are you thinking?
I wasn't. I didn't have to think at that point in my life.
What about her mother?
Yeah.
Because she makes an appearance on the show, too.
She sure does, yeah. Both of our mothers are right behind us. Her mother was a pretty cool lady. Yeah. Her family was cool because they had...
she had two older brothers, and their dad was like some kind of like businessman, like millionaire type guy, like a lot of people in the town that I grew up. And they were just like really relaxed with their kids, like they just, like she was like oh what it depends on the curfew. She didn't have a curfew. I was a 12-year-old girl, could do whatever she wanted. My parents put me on a curfew, but she could do whatever she wanted.
I guess I didn't have a curfew. I just never had a reason to stay out late.
Yeah. I don't think I did up until that point. And then my parents were like, oh, he's with a girl. Like, make sure he gets home. That's how it was.
So I don't watch Phil Donahue
enough.
Much. Yeah, no, definitely not.
I watch it all the time.
But I mentioned that your girlfriend at the time, her mother, because she does talk during this.
Oh yeah.
But it's almost as if they don't care because they cut her off.
But they did. That was a formality because we were underage, that they had to have them there.
Do you want to see her? I do have a clip of her talking, and they do cut to you briefly too. How do I look?
We should all get that kind of testimony from our kids, yeah.
I don't mind him dating at 14, but at 12. I have an 11-year-old, and I am not going to let her out.
You're not?
No, she...
Oh, what's the matter an afternoon Saturday matinee?
She's not old enough. She's not mature. She's not old enough for it.
Yeah. You want in here? I don't... All right.
I don't think dating should be criticized. I think it's part of growing up.
This is her mother. Thanks for coming with us.
I would just like to say everybody's talking about fun for the children. What about fun for the parents? I think parents should enjoy it as well as the children and enjoy
their own social life, you mean?
No, I mean watching their children grow up and helping their children grow up, and we're all make.
As I thought, she was really relaxed, man.
Yeah, she
was into it.
What does that outfit remind me of? A Japanese schoolgirl outfit or something like the thing? I don't know. Oh, the one the mom's wearing.
Yeah.
Right? Is that what it reminds me of? I'm trying to think what it is. That design that well signed for.
No, I know what you mean. I wouldn't have remembered it that way at all.
Well, did she go to school in Japan?
I know. By the way, that comment that my then girlfriend made, she sat there the whole time trying to think about it. Like I was like, I'm like dodging bullets being on the show at all, you know? Like, so I'm keeping my head down, and she was just like, she's like, all you said was yes. Don't you want to say something else? Don't you want to say something else? And I was like sitting there like thinking like, what could I possibly say about this subject where I'm not going to make them want to talk to me more? She came up with that because she was like really bright, you know? So she was like, I think it should be embraced or whatever she says. You know?
So I haven't watched Donahue before, but is it not like, say, Oprah or any other talk show where the guests of the day are on the stage or something? You were like, enjoying the audience.
There were guests on the stage, but you had to be over 18 to be on the stage for some reason.
Oh.
All the minors had to be in the audience. And that's the way that they set it up for that one. So, like, all the couples that were on the stage were all, like I think there was, like, an 18-year-old dating, like, a 21-year-old. And that was, like, oh, my God. But now it's, like, our society has moved forward so rapidly.
Because of that show, I think that is. You know, Phil Donahue was known for going into the audience, like, actively. He was very, very big at, like, running.
He was in good shape.
I feel like I don't have my microphone, but I feel like if there's any questions out there, does anyone have any questions out there?
Anyone have a question?
He had his mother's perm, which I think is hilarious. You can see his mom sitting there smiling.
It's your mother-in-law, all right?
Yeah. So there's no jealousy, right? Like seeing the girl.
I want to know where she is now.
Do you know?
I'm not in touch at all with her. What happened was, I like through the grapevine, I've heard that she moved to London and that she's married and has two kids. That's what I've heard.
But I would have predicted as much.
Yeah.
You see it. You know,
she was a really cute, like, young girl, but then she had an awkward high school years. And she was very much like a Peppermint Patty. Like,
what does that mean?
Peppermint Patty is like a, like, kind of like a tomboy.
Uh-huh.
And that's the way that girl
peanuts.
Was. Yeah, because she had older brothers, so she would be like, what? I'll fucking kick your ass. And, like, all the guys got to that point where they were like, I don't want to date a girl like that.
Date me or else.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we were like, all the guy sports, we were like, I hope she doesn't try out for our team. Like, she is better than most of us. But a very nice girl.
How long did you guys want to date for a total?
Somebody else was asking me this recently. I honestly don't remember, but I think it was about 10 months. I think this might have been the halfway point of the relationship.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, and for those days, it was like, for 12-year-olds, it was a huge deal.
Yeah.
Because it's almost like you're like up to a year, you know, like it's the same person.
That's a high percentage of your life.
It is. At that point, it really was. But yeah, I befriended this kid in sixth grade that is like pure Hellraiser kid, and he was like, he didn't like it that I was hanging out with this girl so much, so he started getting under my skin about it. And then he was like, she's been talking to other guys, all this kind of stuff. It's just starting to get me jealous, and then being like, you could do so much better. And all this so I ended up dumping her. Like, way prematurely, because we were totally, like, still getting along as a couple.
Was it a note? Or was it a friend? Or did you remember a phone call?
I think it might have been a phone call.
That's a tough phone call to make.
Yeah, well, and back in those days, a lot of kids were dumping girls by just saying, just calling up and being like, you're gone. Or like, Yeah, I actually broke up with that mom.
Well, I hope you can stick around. We have another guest who was also a kid star.
Thanks.
There's more questions later, but please, another hand for BJ Gallagher.
Great, over here.
Go right into the next guest, if that's all right with you. You know
why?
Because talking to one should be, why talk to one when you can talk to two? Nice. Please welcome the next guest, Sesame Street's Mo Shafiq.
Surrounded by Shafiqs.
It's the first time that phrase has been ever uttered.
Get your Shafiq on.
That one hasn't said
that. In more context.
Well, thank you, Mo, for joining me.
No problem.
So you were on TV.
Yeah.
And you were on Sesame Street. That's probably one of the most influential TV shows I can think of.
And apparently, from talking to all my friends who now know about it, probably one of the most coveted. I mean, all my friends say that they dreamed of being on that show, and I still, like, deny it to this day that I was ever on it. Like, you know, people, like, find out because I, you know, by my parents, my brother, or through mutual friends who already know, and they're like, you were on Sesame Street? And I'm like, I gotta see the tapes, is the next statement that's followed up by it. And I found out recently that one of them's on DVD, so that's, like, another hurdle to tackle.
So, do you guys believe that he was on Sesame Street?
Grouchkateer. They're in ostrich trash cans.
Yeah, but not for long. That's one Grouchkateer. That's two Grouchkateer.
Three.
Welcome to Sesame Street. You know what? You are what?
This happened later in the episode.
Four grouchy pears. But how many grouchy pears would there be if there were two grouchy-tears over there and two grouchy-tears over here, huh? How do I know there would be four grouchy-tears?
We count them again. Sahara and Mohammed, you guys go stand next to Snuffy over there, okay? You two, stay there.
One, over there, and over next to me, here, there's three, four. You're right, Granger. There's still four grouchy-tears. Yeah. But how many grouchy-tears would there be if they were jumping up and down and making funny faces, huh? Yeah.
Okay, you guys, jump up and down and make funny faces.
So,
how many were there at the end?
Snuffy couldn't figure it out. He's been living on Sesame Street, learning all the lessons over the, at least at this point by 10 to 12 years. He still didn't know how many grouchy tears it would be.
But his trunk smells, doesn't it?
You know, there are so many segments that I've seen that, like, I'm so like, oh my god, I can't believe I did that. Like, one of the first time I ever rewatched it when I was in, like, high school, when I had the courage to finally look back at it, there's this segment where I'm, it's a game called One of These Things Is Not Like the Other, and they put, like, a carrot, a cauliflower, and, like, a cucumber on a table, and then they have a Muppet stand, like, as the fourth item, and then they sing a song, One of These Things Is Not Like the Other, and we're supposed to figure out which one is it, one of the items, and it's the bear, obviously. And throughout the whole thing, I just keep, like, grabbing the bear's hand and touching it, and like the bear, the puppeteer is just, you know, appeasing me and playing along with me, and every time I watched it, I was like, oh my god, I can't believe I'm doing that. I'm so embarrassed. But seeing that little girl just now, like, do PU to, like, the trunk, I wonder what she's going through right now. Or the Asian girl whose lady fell off her head. That's way more traumatizing than anything I've
ever done. Do you remember that day?
Yeah, I remember getting made up for that day. That was Grouchy Tear Day.
Of course.
We, you know, it was like a lot of just black makeup on the face, and we had to wear like a ratty t-shirt. I think my mom might have picked it out. Like, they would call us, my parents, in advance and let them know like what I needed to wear or bring to the show. And I don't remember the actual filming of it, but I do remember like vaguely coming out of the garbage can. I remember being on the set for that day. Funny story, the reason I even got on the show was because this girl I used to carpool with had tried out and been on the show, but had been kicked off because she wanted to be one of Big Bird's Katirs, whichever that would be. I think it might be a bird Katir, and they made her into a grouch Katir, and she like threw a hissy fit at the show, and they called her and told her not to come back.
Whoa.
I was fine with being a grouch Katir. And I was totally cool with it.
Grouchketeer is much better than a... I mean, how many people here would prefer to be a Grouchketeer than a... She made a poor decision. And got her fired. How does Big Bird move his mouth?
Okay. One of my favorite things about being on the show... I wasn't, like, completely, like, disenchanted by it. Like, I feel like now if I... were to, like, put my kid in that situation, I would be afraid of ruining my kid. I don't have a kid. But a kid into it, I would be afraid of, like, ruining his vision of what, like, puppets and, like, how it's all done and stuff like that. But I was just so fascinated with it, and, like, I was totally upset, like, intrigued by everything that went on. Like, I would see the guy who played Big Bird inside of his Big Bird costume, he would walk around with just the pants on, and they would lower the thing on top of him. He would have a TV screen inside, like at his eye level, and he would have one hand in one of his arms. The other hand would just be attached to a string; it would never move. And then he had one hand up as a beak. He couldn't see out of anything except for a TV screen, and that's how he operated everything. And that guy is also the guy who does Oscar the Grouch. So that's why they're never in the same scenes together.
So it would seem like you could be a Grouchketeer and a Birdketeer.
Oh, oh.
As long as you just dress up like a costume, you seem.
Well, that's pretty cool, because Big Bird, you know, like, that is a... That was the one Muppet that I was like, I don't get it. I don't understand how come he could do that. But now I'd be looking for that, you know?
Yeah.
Like the one arm, that's, or one wing that's not going to be flapping.
Yeah.
You haven't noticed? It's always on a sling, the whole show. There's one broken wing.
So, every time I mentioned I was going to be interviewing someone who was on Sesame Street, I did get a lot of that. I'm so jealous. Because... it's such a iconic show. I mean, it was also like, it was a, what do you call that? Trend-setting, or like a trailblazing show too, because it was like a show, it was like the first time that a school show was shown in the city, right?
Oh yeah, yeah, no, it was, I mean, man, did I want to go into that 123 building. Like, I mean, when you look at it on the show, it looks like it's a very rundown street, not very not clean. It's like kind of what you picture New York City like from the stereotypes of the 80s of, you know, just kind of rundown and, I guess, architecturally interesting. But, you know, that place was hollowed out. And the only place that actually was a real set was Maria's store. I think that's Maria's, or I forget what a lot of the human characters were called. But, yeah, I mean, it was very trend-setting, and it was, you know, really awesome to be involved in it at the time. And when I was in school, like, none of my friends really were that excited about it. Like, when I, like, all my elementary school kids, they weren't like, oh my god, you know, tell me about it. Like, I feel like they were just as unexcited as I was by, like, a certain point of it. But then my high school friends were the ones that really fascinated. Everyone was, like, you know, a generation.
Yeah. Well, you know, how long was your tenure in Sesame Street? Because you were in multiple episodes, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How often would you say over the time period?
I'd say that it was about a span of 5 to 6 years over the course of, like, I'd be in an episode at least once a month, and I was on one direct-to-video cassette.
Is that... the dance along?
That's dance along.
And you were a little older than you were in that one, right?
Yeah, I was at least a year or two older. That was in the middle of my thing, my tenure.
Well, I think we want to see that, right?
Yeah. Sesame Songs presents Dance Along.
Oh, yeah! 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 Well, welcome to the Sesame Street Dance Along!
Yay! Yeah!
Thank you! Today, we're going to show you some really great dances like the bird called Boogie!
Hooray!
And... the Batty Bat.
And Doobity Goat. Oh, yes. Batty Bat.
The most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to me in my entire life. And I remember when it happened to me when I was on stage and that happened. I remember thinking, like, I really hope they don't, like, that doesn't, that they weren't filming me. And they showcase it. Like, they break to a separate camera. Now that I've, like, been in production, like, television production classes and stuff, like, I know, like, you know, the switchboard, and, like, they cut to it. Like, they purposefully edited it. So that was the focus of the shot. It was...
It's probably ruined that dance for you from now on. Oh, hey, we're doing the baddie bag. Here's a towel. No thanks.
Why they have those adults in there?
They just look creepy.
Yeah, if you watch the entire show, there's the two adults. There's one woman and one guy who are like the co-hosts. I guess they can are a little more mobile than most of the puppets. So, like, whenever they need to introduce a song, like they have one of the humans interact with the Muppet, and the Muppet is either confused about the song or the human's confused about the song, and then they either explain it to each other. It's kind of a playoff, and then they have the kids do the dance, and they exploit them.
What did you think of these adult guys that would just, you know, it's all these little kids, and then you got these two older people that are just dancing around with you guys?
I mean, now that I'm their age now, I can imagine it was just paying the bills. I mean, they had to interact with them and talk to them. It must have been so annoying. I can't imagine what they were thinking, like, being on stage with them. I mean, you know, having to do take after take after take of just, you know, because a kid, you know, was, like, you know, acting the wrong way, mm-hmm. or because of the kid was, you know, not paying attention or, like, you know, messing with the Muppets too much. It just seems like it probably would be really tiring.
Which of the Muppets is your favorite? I mean, which of your colleagues?
You know, a lesser known, but I remember really being fond of Telly.
Yeah.
Telly.
I
don't know who that one is.
I don't remember. Telly. He's purple. He's kind of like Elmo, but a little bit huskier and like has a more of a throaty voice. He was really cool. Like back then, he was in the mix. He was a cool dude, you know. And then Elmo was like this little like side character that no one really cared about. And I remember being really fascinated one day because the puppeteer who did Elmo. I found out from the production crew at the set had also done the voice of Baby from Dinosaurs, which I was a huge fan of at the time, and Splinter from Teenage Mutant Ninja the movies. So I asked him, like, I was like, oh my god, do the baby's voice, and he did it, and like the production crew was like, shut up, don't do that on this set, you know, adult jokes that I didn't really get at the time, but now I do. And like, you know, he was like, Elmo was a nobody. And then I remember after my 10-year on Sesame Street watching Elmo become the biggest character on that show and overshadowing poor Telly, who was in it from the beginning.
And Grover, who was a big one in the 80s. All the books and stuff and paraphernalia were like, Grover was my favorite when I was a kid, and then Elmo would just like take him to the curb, and that was it. It was done.
I just loved it when Kermit would show up. He's like a Muppet from the Muppet Show. What's he doing on Sesame Street?
There it was. Some of that, actually, made some real life cameos in the show. You met Danny DeVito, right?
Oh yeah, I did. I met some celebrities. I met Danny DeVito and Rhea Perlman. They're married. He was there on the set. He wasn't actually on the show, but I met Rhea Perlman. She was doing like Lady in the Shoe. What is that? That like old fairy tale?
The Woman in the Shoe.
Doing like a play on that. I met Bo Jackson.
Yeah.
And Mayor David Dinkins from New York City. Not really that important, exciting these days. I remember, this is the biggest bum out, I was sick with pneumonia, and I couldn't make it, but I was supposed to be on a segment with Robin Williams.
Still, you met some great... how old were you when you met these?
You know, 7, 8. Old enough to, like, recognize celebrity and care.
So I old enough to date.
Yeah.
When did you start dating?
I wasn't as lucky as he was. I didn't know until I was 16.
Yeah? Still beat me by, like, half a decade.
just save yourselves embarrassment, that's all.
Yeah. I just got embarrassed later. I was older and I got more embarrassed. How old were you when you, what's that?
Don't linger on you, hello. It's emotionally and...
At least least my mom's not in the crowd. She is. Well, I guess, does anyone else have any questions that they want to ask the two child stars that are still with us?
Don't call me that when I'm sitting here with you. I never even thought to bring a towel on down here. It's creative.
You know, having worked with all the Muppets, did you ever, like, start to want to do your own impressions of them, or impressions of them? Kermit, or...?
No, I didn't really know Kermit was a big factor in Sesame Street, like, until recently, like, just watching the tapes the other day, I noticed how often Kermit was on. Like, I always associated Kermit with the Muppet movies, and the Muppet Show, and all that stuff, and then Sesame Street, I always just thought Big Bird, Ernie and Bert, and Cookie Monster, who I never really met Ernie, Bert, Cookie Monster, because all their stuff was filmed in separate, like, sound stages and stuff, like, Grover, like, all the, like, the single kids sitting in a room with, like, the Cookie Monster, and, you know, them interacting with each other, you know, learning about a specific letter, that was all done separate. Like, I only did stuff on the actual Sesame Street set.
I heard a rumor that was Kaufman Astoria. Is that where they filmed it?
Mm-hmm. I don't remember. What street is that on?
It's like 34th Avenue and like 38th Street or something like that.
Yeah, it's. Me and my mom used to come into the city, take the Long Island Railroad, and take the subway and go down. And they eventually moved it. Astoria, like the
Astoria, Queens.
No, yeah, it's in Astoria, Queens now, but it was used to be to film the city.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was in the city when I was taping it. It's now in Astoria, in Kaufman Astoria.
Oh, is this show still on the air? That's good. I just haven't seen it in a while. So
it's
definitely
still on the air.
That's awesome. That, how long has that show been on the air? That's like the
70s. 70s or so? Over 30 years now.
Wow.
And
you're an alum.
I went to a DVD store the other day, and they had a package of a documentary someone put together about Sesame Street around the world, because they had like separate versions of it for like Africa and Asia and stuff like that. So they do productions of it everywhere, and some, not just the New York City.
Do they have the same stock characters at Sesame Street? Like, in Africa, is there Bert and Ernie Grover, or they're like? African,
like, is it a Big Bird, like Big Emu or something like that?
this is like hearsay. I think I read about this one time on the internet, but that there was a character, like a Muppet in the African Sesame Street that is HIV positive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I remember reading about that.
Yeah.
Because of the high, you know, rate of children who are born with it.
I don't want to end on that. Oh, is there a question out there?
I have a question.
Yes.
I just think they're obviously spending a lot of money on these other productions. So, like, you need to bring your own outfits. So, did you have to bring your own towel?
No.
What was the weirdest thing you had to bring?
That would be really funny if, like, that morning we were packing a towel. And that, like, I saw it, and I later realized that would be the towel, that would be the biggest embarrassing thing. But, it was just, like, dressing a certain way. Like, there was one episode, the one with David Dinkins, the ex-mayor, we all had to be in a hospital, so they paid for us to go to, like, some medical facility in the city, and they fitted us for casts. And, like, fake casts, and then, like, we did the casting molding, and then we came in like 2 weeks later for the production, and then they put it on us, and we had it like all the props and like, you know, the trash can lids, obviously they didn't have to bring those miniature garbage can lids. But
wait a minute, so the hurt people or the were not really hurt, like the people wearing casts, or was it like obvious? Because like they tend to feature people that are, you know, disabled and. But I would assume that they're really disabled.
I wish I could remember this sketch. I think it's a sketch or the scenario. We were all in a hospital, and David Dinkins came in and talked to someone. But there was like one of the Muppets might have been in the hospital also.
Oh, okay.
And there was other kids in the hospital who were also, you know, broken leg, broken foot, you know, broken hand, and they were like, you know, basically making him feel better about being incapacitated.
I moved the city after that mayor, but I've heard a lot of stories about them. You met him? And
yeah, I mean, I got to shake his hand, and I was on the same room as him. That's pretty much what he means to me at that age. I could scratch him off the list of famous people I know and have met.
Keep Robin Williams on that list.
Yeah. Almost.
Was there any other questions out there? Oh, here we go.
Yes, did Sesame Street put you through college?
I've been asked that many a time. I remember at my young age actually seeing a paycheck or two, like actually seeing the physical thing. And I think like per episode, like it was, you know, like maybe like $100-150 like for it. But then like we'd also get residuals for re-airings and stuff like that. And then about like 6 months ago, my mom got a check from Children's Television Workshop for like $1.48 and it was for the release of Dance Along on DVD.
So yes, it put into a college. It's
me, pay for my car.
Being the brother of a huge television star, did you hear anything at school? Like, hey, you know, your brother was on Sesame Street today.
I don't think so. I don't remember, actually. Yeah, I don't think it was, like, I guess maybe at the time it was, like, a story, but, like, other than that, you know, it's too busy dating, you know, high school.
Because I wonder, you know, if there would be some sort of jealousy or, like, you ever wanted to, or are you guys pretty close in general?
Yeah, I mean, there was always that period, like, when I was in elementary school and he was in middle school, and then I was in middle school, he was in high school. Like, that little area was a little rough, but once he got to college and I was in high school, I kind of understood why he wanted his privacy when, you know, he was his age, and why he didn't want to be associated with his whiny brother. He was, like, a big actor in high school. Like, he did a lot of productions and stuff like that, and I was, you know, always kind of enamored with that. Even though I had already been on television and, you know, way successful. I found, you know, a nice, you know, that niche, that, like, theater market appealing to me for some reason, and I just, you know.
Do you think that was because of the TV experience, or brother, or both?
Oh, I mean, I ended up doing some acting in high school also, but that was inspiration from just my desire to be like an entertainer, kind of like my brother.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, I've always wanted to write and do stuff with film and music and stuff, so.
And now you represent a band.
Yeah, right? I tour manage a band. Not quite as much of an entertainer as I'd like to be. I kind of just babysit the entertainers, but it's still definitely an experience. And, as if me babysitting them wasn't enough, one time they found out that Dance Along was on DVD and they went behind my back and woke up one morning while I was still in the hotel and drove to a Best Buy and bought it and proceeded to play it for all their fans at the table on certain nights. So it's been a fun, lively experience. The singer still, on occasion, if he makes eye contact with me while I'm on stage, he'll say, "Hey, give it up for our tour manager. He was on Sesame Street when he was a kid." And people will clap for anything, so.
Well, I guess you heard it from Mo. It's out on DVD. It's called
Rover's on the cover, dressed up like Saturday Night Fever.
Thank you very much, Mo Shabik. One more round of applause. This is, we're at the Magna Theater right now, and this theater has shows all throughout the week from Tuesday till Sunday. You can take classes, you can come to shows. Please, if you want to know the specific shows, you can go to magnettheater.com. But right now, I'd like to thank both of our guests, BJ Gallagher, Mo Shafiq, Matt Shafiq, Frank and Booth, Louis, Armando, and Alex. And Sean Amaro, of course, the director in the back. And of course, give it up for the Glenn Miller Orchestra.
Thank you for listening to the Spotlight with Sean Taylor podcast. If you want to be in the audience at the next show, call the Magnet Theater at 212-244-8824 and make your reservations for Sunday, January 28th, at 9:30 p.m. If you have been on TV and want to be a guest, please visit our website at thespotlightwithseantaylor.com and follow the Be Our Guest link on the left side.